The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, my beautiful friends, and thank you so much for being here. Today, I want to talk about spiritual bypassing in a new way, in a way that I typically don't hear people talking about. Typically, the way that I notice that people talk about spiritual bypassing is by relating it to people who are avoiding their emotions or someone else's emotions or even collective unrest, all in the name of spirituality. You know, the reason that they're avoiding, ignoring, pretending like these things don't exist is all rooted in their spiritual belief systems. For instance, a common way that I find that people point out spiritual bypassing is when two people are having a conversation. Let's say the conversation is happening between two friends, Sally and Martha. Sally is setting a boundary or is talking about a preference that she has. Or maybe she's even trying to communicate to Martha that Martha did something that she didn't like or that hurt her in some way. Then Martha responds by clearly becoming offended, but trying to mask that offense by telling Sally that she is projecting and needs to take a deeper look within herself. And that this has nothing to do with her, this has nothing to do with Martha, but it has all to do with Sally and what's going on inside Sally's mind. Which, in my perspective, and from what I've witnessed other people communicating about out in the outside world, is that Martha, in this case, is spiritually bypassing. If you're deep enough within the spiritual community, you're probably familiar with a concept that says, other people's work is none of my business. This is something you hear Abraham Hicks talk about a lot. You hear Byron Katie talking about this in her own way. It's basically the thought that during confrontation, this is a practice in taking responsibility for your part instead of pointing out the other person's part. Even if it's only 5% on you, focus on the 5%. Don't focus on the 95% that's their fault. And in my perspective, this is something that I wholeheartedly believe and practice regularly. My work is my work. Other people's work is their work. It's not my job to point out to other people what they need to do or what they need to work on within themselves unless they ask me straight out. And if they do that, I'll do my very best to say what's on my mind with as much empathy and compassion as I can and without coming off as a complete asshole. And also by stating that all of this is based in my opinion and that I don't think that I rule over universal truth and that I could be completely wrong. And if it doesn't resonate with them, they can completely throw it in the dumpster and it's not going to hurt my feelings. I feel like that is almost my entire script. If you're familiar with me, you're probably familiar with me saying that because I am consistently trying to make sure that I'm not coming off like I think that my word is universal truth. My only job from my perspective outside of all of that is to communicate my desires, communicate my boundaries, and to express what my needs are. And if another person can't meet me there or wants to shame me for that, then it's a bye. Goodbye. The end. No hard feelings. But I'm not interested in maintaining friendships or relationships that are rooted in unwarranted criticism. In a person who thinks that they know the workings of my mind better than I do. Especially in a way that's unwarranted. It'd be different if I had asked somebody, like, do you think that I'm doing this? Do you think that I'm, what's your thought on this? What's your thought on that? If I ask, that's very different. But like I was just saying, this doesn't necessarily mean that I believe this is universal truth. Like, this is just the way that I experience spiritual bypassing and the way that I've noticed other people that I'm surrounded by experiencing spiritual bypassing, in one sense at least. And then we have another way. This is one that we all started to really recognize during COVID. And that is that a lot of people, during big collective events, like this occurs when there are big collective events going on in the world. And you'll see some people who are completely out of touch with reality and who have extremely and heavily leaning on positive self-talk and affirmation. They're projecting that onto everyone. And, you know, these are the delusional people. Typically, they are so focused on their own experience and being delusionally positive within that experience that they then become incredibly out of touch with the struggles of other people. While those struggles are very much still real and happening to those people every single day, all the time. And listen, I want to make the point that I love being delusional. I think there is a lot of good that quote-unquote delusion can bring to a person, but I personally also find that it's really important to keep one foot in reality, which I think some people in the spiritual community can have some difficulty with, especially at the very beginning of their journey when they're still trying to, you know, wrap their mind around what all the spiritual practices mean. They're trying to make sense of it all in their minds. If we don't keep one foot in reality, in my perspective, we end up with people who refuse to admit that there are problems in the world. And if you're familiar with my work at all on the concept of the power of desire, you'll know that my theory is that ignoring contrast, ignoring the problems, doesn't actually bring you any closer to fulfillment of desire. Like, being so delusional that you don't care about the collective is not the key to manifestation. And to me, that's like the equivalent of an alcoholic who doesn't admit that they have a problem. They're still, like, you know, binge drinking all the time and drinking way too much, and they're making problems with their families, but they're sitting around talking as if they aren't. You know, they're sitting around talking to other alcoholics. They're going to AA and they're talking to the other alcoholics about how the reason that they found sanity and the reason they found clarity and the reason they found, you know, the cleanliness, they're clean now. And the reason they are is because they just pretended like they were, you know, like that's very out of touch and not kind to other alcoholics who don't believe and think the same way. Like if you can't even admit that there's a problem in the first place, or that you're even just dissatisfied with something, how do you expect the universe to send you a solution? You know, I don't believe that we need to vilify our negative emotions or our negative experiences, and we definitely don't need to ignore them outright in order to manifest. If anything, I have found the opposite to be completely true. Like, I don't believe that we come here to have the human experience to just dissociate from some, like, to pick and choose some of the human experiences, you know, like, I'm gonna just totally dissociate from the bad ones. And I'm gonna just, you know, only pay attention when the good things are happening. All of it's valid. Like, all of it is valid. And all of it deserves recognition. Okay, so now, for the third and the part of spiritual bypassing that I believe that a lot of people have experienced without realizing it, and who are doing it purely in the name of their spiritual practice, and that, my friends, is rooted in what I am calling the misinterpretation of surrender. Again, if you're deep in the spiritual manifestation, law of attraction, Abraham Hicks, Jess Lively world, then you're probably very familiar with the concept of surrender. And surrender, in my own personal definition, is like living in flow at its very core. And living in flow is finding peace and acceptance of whatever is happening in any given moment. And what I mean by surrender is the spiritual practice and thought, which I believe is okay, wait, the definition before is what I actually believe surrender is. Like, this is living in flow. Living in flow is finding peace and acceptance of whatever is happening in any given moment. But what most people believe surrender means in the spiritual community is the actual practice of thought where you are required by the powers above to completely let go of all that you want and desire. Like, want nothing, float down the river. If something is meant for you, it will come, and it will be easy, and it will be effortless. And if it doesn't come, and it's not easy, then it's not meant for you at all. The universe says, do not pass go. It's not meant for you, just let it go. Whatever. Get over it. Get over it, kid. And a lot of people come to me with this. This is the reason why I wanted to talk about it, because it seemed like a very repetitive topic that's come up for me in my personal life in the last couple of weeks. I've had multiple people, clients and friends, and just noticing it on social media also, people talking about this. So why do I call this spiritual bypassing? I call this spiritual bypassing because in my belief system, desires are valid 100% of the time. In my perspective, we are human beings. If we wanted to want nothing and to live in complete surrender and to not ask for things, I don't personally believe that we would have incarnated into human bodies that want things and that have preferences. Like, what would the point have been? You know, like, if your spiritual belief system is that we are souls who incarnate into the human experience, then I'm assuming that you also believe that the soul perspective is based in not really needing, wanting, or desiring anything. There's no identification. There's no preference. You're just sort of in that peaceful, blissful state at all times. And maybe not even in peaceful bliss, but more so in like a very neutral place, like nothing is good, nothing is bad, and there's no preference there. You can't want something better, you don't want something worse, or find yourself in either of those places because everything is neutral. And I believe that because that's what our experience is on the soul level, that we have preference to experience preference. And so we come into these human bodies, which experiences them at extremes on both ends. Eckhart Tolle decided, after being in almost complete surrender for years, if you're familiar with his story, Eckhart Tolle lived on park benches after coming into the awareness that he had control over his thoughts. Once he realized he had control over his thoughts, he basically just like lived in that place of being able to like choose bliss in his thought process rather than choosing depression, which is where he was before. It's like he went from trigger warning. It's like he went from being borderline suicidal. I think in the midst of planning that, and then was then shifted to the complete other end of the spectrum, which was being in complete bliss and joy for being alive. But even him being in that place of complete surrender still woke up one day and decided and was like, maybe I should go join society again. Like, that was one of my favorite things reading Eckhart Tolle's story. I believe he either said it during a conference and I heard it in a YouTube video, or I read it in the introduction to The Power of Now. But in my memory, he basically just said, like, yeah, I just kind of realized one day, like, I should probably join society again. You know? And I think that's because we aren't meant to live entirely in surrender without any desires whatsoever. We're meant to have preferences. We're meant to want things. I think that's the point that we come here to experience. And so this aspect of spiritual bypassing, in my perspective, is like the inception of spiritual bypassing, because really the only person it's affecting is yourself. It's all happening internally, and we just don't realize that it has potential to have huge impact on our external realities. Like, when we do this, when we say something like, I just need to surrender and stop wanting this thing at all, or we use spirituality as an excuse for why we don't have something yet, I believe that we are basically invalidating our own desires. It's one thing to be in an experience or to say something like, I lived, I learned, I realized through my lived experiences that I don't actually want that thing at all. I thought I did, but I had it, and then I just like, really wasn't for me. But to sit around and act like you don't want something anymore purely because you think the universe is sending you a direct message that says this isn't meant for you. Stop wanting it. Like, stop wanting it, you big dum-dum. Like, that, in my perspective, is not rooted in reality. And, like, that's a good thing, because how disappointing is it when we get to a point in our experience where we suddenly realize that something didn't work, we don't have what we want, and we sit there and we're like, oh, well, I guess the universe is telling me this isn't meant for me. Like, how disappointing is that? And this is, like, such good news, right? Because if this is true, then that means that whatever you desire is always meant for you, regardless of what's happening in your current circumstances. It's never the universe saying that you're not meant for something if something doesn't happen that you wanted to happen. Like, this is what my perspective is. If the universe is rooted in complete non-judgment, complete unbiased opinion, complete unconditional love, and has no desire to put a hand in impacting our free will, then the universe is literally never, ever, 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 ever trying to tell us that something isn't meant for us, because that would require judgment. That would require for them to have a preference about what our reality is. And this isn't about what the universe prefers. This is about what we as individuals in a human body desire. Everything is meant for us. We come here to experience everything. Whatever we choose at any given moment is meant for us. At least that's my personal experience and opinion. So an example in my own life, because not only have I heard this and has this come to me based off of like what a lot of other people are saying to me, but I've also had this pop up in my own life. And this is actually what drove me to starting the podcast again, was realizing that I was experiencing this sort of spiritual bypassing within my business. So the example in my own life is, like I said, in the way that I've been running my business for the past couple of years now. And the way that I was running my business was very much rooted in my spiritual practices. I wanted to completely surrender my business to the divine. I believed that whatever was meant for my business would come easily. Whoever was meant to work with me would just show up without having to do much of anything. And I believed all of this in the name of my spiritual practices. I ignored the parts of my business and my personality and my habits that weren't working for me. And I tried to stay in a delusional place at all times, acting as if my business was a wild success the way that it was. And I also want to point out that in a lot of ways, my business has been very successful for me. I am so proud of what I've been able to create for myself, what I've been able to maintain, the life I've been able to build for myself. Like, without my business, I would not be in Bali right now. I have such amazing clients. I've made amazing friends because of my work. I feel more fulfilled than I ever have, truly. But I also was still ignoring the parts of my business that weren't working, the things that I was doing that was setting me back. I was ignoring the parts of my business and all the things that just weren't working. And I had to face that reality, the reality that my business wasn't sustainable, and then take complete responsibility for that. I had to stop blaming the universe, or rather believing that the universe wasn't supporting my actions or the work I'd been led to do in the first place. And I really did believe that. Like, when something wasn't working in my business, I would just sort of chuck it into the universe says no pile. You know, universe says this isn't the one, this isn't the way. I realized once I admitted that I was spiritually bypassing within my business by attempting to stay in complete surrender at all times with little action, that I was actually leading my business to a potentially dangerous place. And what I mean by dangerous is like the failure of my business. After everything that I had done, all the work that I had put in, all the inspiration that had driven my business, I sort of had to pull back and be like, am I adding to the success of my business, or am I depleting energy from my business in a way that's not serving it. I realized that I was ignoring the areas of my business that had worked and that had given me results, and I was doing it by using my spirituality to feel valid in avoiding those things, in avoiding the things that actually worked. Or I was using like the amount of quote unquote success that I'd actually experienced, or that I thought I'd experienced. Like, more than anything, my business has been successful if we remove like the whole concept of like, in order to be a success within business, that you need to make a shit ton of money. If we just ignored price tags, which again, the ignoring part, if we avoided and ignored the price tag, my business has been, in my perspective, a wild success. But we can't ignore and avoid the things that are rooted in reality. Like, it sucks. I hate it just as much as everyone else does. But money makes the fucking world go around, at least for right now. In order for us to live sustainable and comfortable lives, we have to be making money. Like, we have to get paid a certain amount of money in order for us to feel sustained. And we all deserve that also, but it's a part of the work that a lot of us avoid because it's so uncomfortable and we don't want to feed into the system and we don't want to make, you know, there's so much that's caught up in the story of money, especially for us in the spiritual community, in my perspective, because a lot of us don't see money as spiritual. A lot of us wish that we could just like live in a world where money didn't exist and we could just like trade a loaf of bread for, you know, someone to come and mow our lawn. That would be very nice, wouldn't it? If I could just give somebody like a year's worth of my coaching and they'd give me a house or something, like that would be amazing. But as of right now, on, you know, this day of July 3rd, 2023, that is not the way that it works, sadly. And for me, I had to recognize that it wasn't spiritual to avoid these things, that the universe wasn't sending me little hidden messages about my work when certain things weren't working out and when some things were easy and some things weren't. And that discipline and consistency play a really vital and important role within the businesses that we're all creating. And in order to compete with the people out in the world who have like large fan bases, for instance, or who have been posting consistently day after day, year after year, who are working themselves to the bone, like, I'm not saying that we need to meet those people where they are. What I'm saying is that for me, at least, I had to recognize that in order for me to have any sort of success within my business, that I had to be more disciplined, which was a huge shadow for me to work through because I fucking hate discipline. I don't like being consistent. I don't enjoy those things. But what I do enjoy is feeling like I can feed myself, is feeling like I can rent a place, I can buy a plane ticket, I can be free. And as of right now, like I said, on July 3rd of 2023, in order to do that, I need to have money. And that's just reality. That is keeping one foot in reality while also being delusional in the sense that I believe that I can maintain my business, I can find a way to make my business work, and I can meet in the middle between these two things. Like, taking part in a world that I don't particularly enjoy, which is run by money and greed and all these things, and I can also live in the airy-fairy spiritual world of like, I want to bake bread and, you know, trade that for what I need and what I want. I'd like to live with one foot in that world and one foot in the real world that we're actually in, and then marry the two, find a way to meet in the middle between both of them instead of trying to like lean heavily on one side or the other. And I, like I said, the area that I recognized I was spiritually bypassing in within my business was by leaning really heavily on the spiritual side and saying the inner voice, the universe, God, the Holy Spirit, whatever you'd like to call it, is guiding me and will put me directly in the place where I can just completely ignore and avoid all of those things. And I just don't think that deep down, with the way that the world is right now, that that's even possible for a lot of us. Because I still desire material things. I still desire to be a part of society. As much as I'd like to be full-fledged in, like, homestead land, and, like, I'm not saying that's not possible, too, because I have friends who are homesteaders and who live completely off the grid. But for me, where I'm at in my present reality, in real life, not in the delusional, amazing life that I've created for myself, but in the real world where I am right now, not voiding out the delusional life, where I am right now, with keeping all of that in mind, sometimes we have to make sacrifices for a little while in order to get to those places. And that means doing our best to stay as rooted within our value system as we can, while also taking part in a society that we don't particularly like. So we can help build not only the people who are alive now, but the future generations, so we can help move those people in a different direction. That is my perspective. I realized that I wasn't doing the world any service by not talking more about the things that have changed my life for the better. Because even if it impacted one person, even just a single person in the way that it impacted mine, that would be successful for me. That would be a success in my perspective. I'm not serving the world and the collective by ignoring that these things are going on. And I, for one, believe that I can't fight the problems, I can't fight the injustices, I can't fight the greed from the outside. I would prefer to find a way to get in the Trojan horse and get in with all of those people so we can slowly edge them out. And that means that I have to do some things that I don't fucking want to do, like be disciplined and be consistent. But again, if that means that I can get to a place where I can take care of myself and I can be free, then it'll all be worth it. It'll all be worth it. And so instead of bypassing those things, I'm now here. Also, if you'd like to know what to do if you recognize this within yourself, I will be back with a part two explaining the solution to this problem, because I don't want to leave all of you hanging with a problem and no solution to that problem. So I record episodes every Monday here in Bali. This is what I'm consistently dedicating myself to. This is the discipline that I've enacted for myself. I record episodes every Monday here in Bali, and that is about 12 hours in the future compared to Eastern time zone in the United States. I find that a lot of people are either familiar with the East Coast time zone or not, but just because it's for convenience sake, let's just say East Coast, United States, I'm 12 hours in the future. So there's a possibility that wherever you are in the world, that it's going to vary, like, when my episodes drop. Here in Bali, I'm recording them on Monday, but it could potentially drop on a Sunday wherever you are, because, like I said, I'm half a day in the future compared to everyone else. If you're interested in potentially working with me, you can email me or DM me on Instagram. I always keep my email and my Instagram handle in the show notes. That, or you could literally just look up my name on Instagram, because my handle is literally just my first and last name, which you can see on the artwork for my podcast. If you're interested in following me on Instagram, I'd love that. My Instagram, like I said, will be in my in the show notes. My camera on my phone is still broken. If you didn't know, I broke it in early May. I shattered the camera lens on my phone right before I stayed in this really beautiful retreat center a little ways south of me here in Bali, and I haven't been able to take many pictures or post stories or anything since then, but I really love to post to my stories really consistently, so once that gets fixed, I will be in my stories really frequently. If you want to just chat about something you heard in the episode, feel free to DM me or to send me an email. If you want to donate to the podcast, I always keep a PayPal link in the show notes as well. I do the podcast, it's just a labor of love. And so anybody who is willing to donate. I deeply appreciate that. It brings me more security and it allows me to show up more consistently. And please, please, please like, subscribe, leave reviews if you like what you're hearing. It really does make a difference in the algorithm and who's able to see and how well it shows up in search engines and all of that. And, you know, feel free to show it, to share it on your Instagrams or your Facebook or TikToks, whatever. But just please give me some credit. And yeah, that's all for today, my friends. And until next time, quiet the mind, listen within, and always follow the joy.